Hi, guys. I'm so excited to share God's word with you today. And to start the morning off, we had breakfast, and we were all sitting at breakfast talking about how we got into the word. And I thought it would be really cool if for a second you remember why you got into God's word. What was it that you were searching for that brought you to yearn for God? And for me, my life sucked, and it was horrible, and honestly, if it wasn't for the change of God's, you know, God being in my life, I didn't want anything to do with life anymore, and it was everything that I was looking for. So just think for a hot second, what was it that brought you to God and to His Word? That was the lucky strike extra. Now let's get into the Word. So there's been a lot brewing in my heart, and I really am excited to teach the word. And first, I want to thank Jerry for allowing me to teach and for Michael asking me to teach. And what I wanted to share about this morning was fighting to believe God's word over everything. We as believers need to be careful not to fall right into the trap of this world. Right now in this world, everything's accepted. Think whatever way you want to think, be whoever you want to be, do whatever you want to do, as long as you don't offend someone while you're doing it. But we have to remember, you know, where does this stuff really stem from? Who runs the world? You know, we can't fall into that trap and not remember that we're believers. We're not just any people walking around. Let's go to John chapter 10. You know, the same way we were yearning for God and yearning for God to just throw us a life saver, there's people out there that are yearning to have an answer, yearning to get delivered from their situations. And we have the answer, and that's amazing to me. When I got into the Word and I heard God's Word and it answered my questions, that was it. I didn't want to go back to where I was. You know, I had God, and that was all I needed. John chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'm getting there. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The thief, the adversary, we all know that the devil is after the word. He would love to rip God and his word out of everything. He has already started to dumb people down. There is always an issue. Racism, homosexuality, transgender, disciplining your child is evil, confrontation is wrong, our president's crazy. There's always something. There's always something to get you distracted from what really is going on. And that's a good trick. If you get wrapped up with everything that's going on in the world, what's really going on doesn't even get touched. And that's the trick of the adversary. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Don't entertain those conversations. You're a believer, you know? You don't entertain everything that people talk about. It's always negative. Bring it back to the word. Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 12, this is what's really going on. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's what's really going on. It's not about what you see in your five senses. That's just your five senses. You have spirit for a reason, because you need to know what's going on spiritually. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it has nothing to do with your five senses. It has everything to do with spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, this is a cool verse. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We need to walk sharply, sharp on all points. We need to be sharp and not be afraid because there's a devil, but be confident that we have God. God's a lot bigger than the devil. God's a lot bigger than any situation. We need to be sharp. We need to be watchful. We cannot get comfortable with where we are now in the world. We need to be sharp on God's word. Now's the time to speak God's word. Now's the time to be bold as lions. Now's the time to not buckle on what you know is right on God's word. Now's the time to not water down the word. You know what the word says. If it's just a little off, is it the word? No. That's not going to bring you deliverance. It's the word. It's the word. It's the word. That's the only thing that will bring deliverance and change is God's rightly divided word. Stand as who God has called us to be. Sons of God with power. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have 9 manifestations that you can manifest? Do you believe that when you walk into a building, that nothing's going to happen because your presence is there, because God's presence is there? And if there's something you need to know, that God will communicate that to you? I think of that a lot, like when all the things that are going on in the world with bombings and stuff like that. If there was a believer present there, maybe God would have said, don't go there, get out, or, you know, just give you a clue. Isn't that crazy? That's you. You can be in a situation where God can show you and the circumstance can change because you have spirit. You're a son of God. Don't fall into the circuitry of the world. It's silly. God saved us from that. Why would we want to go back to it? So it's God's word that we need to believe. We know it. And if you don't know it, we should get to know it because that's what we need right now at this present moment is God's word. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. And it's really cool. Like, who are we? We're just people. But God gave us his spirit and gave us his word and entrusted us with his word. What a privilege. I mean, we may not be great, but God sure thought we were worth having his spirit. So let's do it. Why not? What do we have to do? You know, watch New Girl, Food Network. I mean, let's get it done here. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You have power, and that power is potential power. So let's light that power up. Let's start exploding. Let's start doing what God would have us to do. Why sit on it? If you had $1 million, I know for a fact nobody would be sitting on it. I know I wouldn't. I would go on a shopping spree. Forget it. But it's God's word. We have power. We have what everyone's looking for. People are sad. This whole transgender thing has got me like, forget it. Because it's sad. It's sad to me that these kids at a young age who are confused, you know how you were when you were in 8th or 7th grade and even younger? You were confused. And now it's accepted. There's no changing. There's no bringing back to the word. There's no teaching. It's just you're accepted. That's the way you are, and that's it. At a young age, the adversary's starting at a young age. And I think of my children, and I'm excited because they're believers. They can change that because if you teach them the word, they know the word, and they have spirit, and it's not smaller because they're younger. It's the same potential power that we have. But we need to teach them so that they can change circumstances. It's God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, potential power. So we need to ignite that power and start doing stuff, signs, miracles, and wonders. Why not? We're only here for a little while. Let's do something. First Peter, chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God stands the test of time. God doesn't need to update his word for the situation that we're in now. It's still God's word. It's still delivering. It still is the answer to everything. Don't get fooled just because you're supposed to accept everything. Not if it's not according to God's word, you don't. It's the word of God. The word liveth and abideth forever. It stands the test of time. Whatever issue is going on, this is the answer. It's the word of God. Second Peter, chapter 1. Yep. It says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. What do you need? What is it that you need? You don't think God has it covered in his word? He cares about you. He'll move mountains for you if that's what needs to happen. He'll take care of your need. It's God Almighty. He loves you. In the manifestations, I mean, how often does God tell us that he loves us? How often will God put someone in your presence if you need something, if you need a hug, if you need to be touched, if you need to get prayed for? Well, there's people out there that are craving for that so that they can have an answer, that they have something to believe in, that they have a reason to get up in the morning like we do. It's God. It's God and his word. Let's go. This one's a big one. It's kind of hard to believe, but not really. Colossians chapter 1. Do we know where we're going here? It's big, but that's our God. And don't let people talk you out of who you are and what you have. We may not fit the mold of what the world, you know, would think is right. Screw the world. God called us. He gave his only begotten son for us so that we can stand right here and hold forth the word of God. And we need to believe that and not shake off of what we know is right, because we know it's right. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Of whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's hands behind your hands, eyes behind your eyes. Wherever you go, God and Christ in you. And if you don't think it's a big deal, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This one, when you read this, you realize how big of a deal it is. It's a big deal. It's Christ in you. Your little life matters huge to God. We want to change circumstances. We want to change the way things are going in the world. We need to believe God's word, and we need to be bold. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You guys there? Seriously, this verse. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's insane to me. They would have not have crucified the Lord of glory had the devil known that every single person in this room would have had Christ in them. He would have rather had Jesus Christ alive, one Christ in one place. But now, there's Christ in all of us. To me, that's insane that it wouldn't have even have happened if the devil would have known. Do you know how big that is? Do you know how much you can affect this world? It's insane. It's Christ in you. We have to be convinced that it is Christ in us. Do you believe that you can pray for someone and that they can be healed? Do you? Do you look to do that wherever you go? Are you guys here? Yeah. Okay. Do you believe that when you enter into a building, spiritually, either something needs to go or God can show you what you need to do? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can communicate to you wherever and whenever he needs to? You, this little person in this huge world, the creator of the heavens and the earth, can communicate with you. We need to be so convinced of God's word and not budge, because God called you and it wasn't a mistake. We can't walk around like everyone else because we're not like everyone else. Our lives, when we believe God's word, can change circumstances. We need to put God's word in our minds constantly, constantly, because there's so much other information getting thrown at us that we're just supposed to accept because that's just the way it goes. No, that's not the way it goes. We need to accept God's word. And if we do take information in, where do you bring it back to? The word of God. Always, always the word of God. I'm going to read to you, actually, from God's Magnified Word. And in page 80, what chapter is this? Oh, it's called The Believer's Walk. And in page 80, this section is a doozy. It says, God had sent Jesus Christ, and he was to do God's work. Now, to do God's work with singleness of mind, Jesus Christ must have been fully persuaded. The account of Jesus Christ in John chapter 4 continues, and in verse 35, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, ready to be harvest. This pointedly demonstrates the difference in people. Some people see the outreach of God's word sometime in the future. We must see it in the immediate present. Followers said to Jesus, 4 months yet till harvest. But Jesus knew the important crop was ripe at that very moment. The disciples didn't perceive this because they were not fully persuaded. They had not begun generating energy of their conviction. They were not utterly convinced and committed to their cause. They were still mentally assenting and not acting on their conviction. Now listen to this. Lift up your eyes, Jesus said. That's the message to the church, the body, today. Get your eyes up. Don't look at the things of this world with its confusions and negative. This will limit you. Look at God and the things of God. Get your vision elevated and then carry through on your conviction. The rationalist will say, 4 months till harvest. God says, now's the time. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Open up your spiritual eyes. How clear is that today? Open up your spiritual eyes. Get your vision up to where God is magnetically drawing you with the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory and power. For the fields are white and all ready to harvest. It's the same today. The fields are ready to be harvested. We need to do what we need to do to hold forth God's word. And that is first to be completely convinced of who you are and what you have. You're a son of God with power, right? More than conquerors, Christ in you. You can speak in tongues. You can raise somebody from the dead. Well, that's what we need to get busy doing. Now, we've got to get fully persuaded that you are what the word of God says you are, and that you have what the word of God says you have. Then you can do what the word of God says you can do. You must be convinced before you can accomplish your goal. You and I have only one responsibility to God, and that is to live for him with all of the energy and ability that we have. As sons, we are to walk fully persuaded of what he has made us to be. If God redeemed us, if God saved us, if God filled us, and if God gave us everything he says he gave us in his word, the least we can do is commit ourselves fully to him. Then he will supply each and every need. Isn't that awesome section? Get fully persuaded. Get fully convinced of who you are and what you can do. There is so much fear in the world. People are scared. People are scared to go out. People are scared to bring their kids places. Kids can't play in the backyard unless their parent is like sitting right there. People are just so terrified of what's gonna happen. People just don't know what to do with certain situations. They don't know where the country, you know, which way the country's headed. They don't know. It's just crazy. It gets, to me, it feels like it gets worse and worse, but honestly, it's the devil, same God that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. He's no weaker now. We have spirit. If we believe who we are and stand like we never stood before and get counted, we can change the course of this world. That's us. Isn't that crazy? You can be a part of that. We need to know who we are and what kind of power we have. Matthew chapter 10. I was so excited to teach this that I told my sister I was going to either do a somersault or a cartwheel on stage. Because it's for real. If you really think about what we have, it's insane. Why? Like, we should be so excited to live each day and to, like, scream in someone's face that God's real, you know? And it's insane to me that everybody can accept everything, but God forbid you mention God and Jesus Christ. It's a little backwards, I think. And you should not accept that. I don't care if you're politically correct or not. That's not the word. Matthew chapter 10. Chapter 10. This is the power that we have. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. That's the power that you have. From the oldest to the youngest, you confess Romans 10, 9, and 10, and you get that. You don't need to wait. You don't need to go to 20 fellowships before you can manifest one thing. The minute you're born again, that's what you can do. We have to answer back with the word of God. Go to Matthew chapter 4. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this chapter is amazing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, isn't that always the question? If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How do we answer back when you're questioned, are you a son of God? You know, do we answer back with it is written? Or we just stay quiet because we don't want to upset anyone. You're a son of God. Jesus Christ answered back with, it is written. And that's what we need to do. And we need to be completely convinced of the word of God. 1 John 4, 4. You know, when I got into the word, I didn't get into the word to make friends. I didn't get into the word to have something to do. I got into the word because I hated my life, and I wanted answers. And there are so many people that are lonely, that are sad, that don't know what to do with their brains, you know? And we have the answer. Remember how you went from darkness to light. Remember how you prayed for the first time, and God answered that prayer. That's what we can do for someone. Remember how God just took you out of your situation and placed you in this perfect place where you are now. And maybe we don't have it all together. Well, when Christ comes back, then, you know, we'll be there. But we have the answer. And we don't need to be perfect to help someone else. And this is true. This is the reality. 1 John 4, 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't let the world make you think that greater is he that is in the world. No, it's not true. Greater is he that is in you. The world needs you. You don't need to put more of the world on. We need to get rid of some of that stuff. Let me also mention something. We have a book club that just a few of us get together and read through the collaterals and stuff. And right now we're in the chapter, well, I think this is the one we just finished, I'll tell you. It is called The Walk of the Youth. You know that chapter in the blue book? We had just finished that, and it's so amazing to me. 1 Timothy, it says, let no man, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Allow no man to think disparagingly of you as a youth. Become a believer's example in the quietness, serenity, and self-composure you have within yourself because of your study and knowledge of the rightly divided word. Rightly divided, revealed word. Become an example in your behavior and manner of life. Become an example in the love of God and the renewed mind in manifestation. Become an example in believing action in your life. Become an example in your uncontaminated leadership. This is to young people. Who's under 30 here? This is to Jerry. This is to you guys. Because sometimes I think we just, in our own brains, we're just like, we're young, the older guys got it down. Well, you guys are the next generation, and you guys are the ones that are going to be doing this stuff. I speak as if I'm like 80, but, but you know, this is true. The younger guys, young people have been given a great challenge by God's word and great responsibility to his word. In the youth lies wells of abilities and qualities. God commands them to perfect and use their potential to benefit themselves and the entire church. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. We all have the responsibility to move God's word and to believe the word. But when in this section is as a young person, where you don't have any, you know, you're not married, you don't have kids, you're just free to do more. So take advantage of that. I remember going clubbing with Carrie and my sister and Madi and dancing and then witnessing at the same time. You know, like shaking our butts and someone's behind us and we're just like, you know how to get born again and just getting down. But why not? You know, you're at a bar and having a drink. Well, most people at bars that aren't believers are because they need something. They're looking for something, and you have exactly what you need to give them. I remember being in Idaho. Nobody would go into bars to witness. Everybody was on the streets, and everybody that needed help was in bars because they had enough. So that's where we would go witnessing because that's where the people were. That's where the need was. And you guys are everywhere, so speak the word. Pray for someone. Someone's depressed, heal them. Why not? So as believers, we need to stand and believe who we are. We need to stand and believe that we have the answer. We need to be bold as a lion and not get scared because of the world. You know what? This is all going to go one day. And we're going to be gathered together with Jesus Christ and God. But while we're here, we can make a difference. Make your life count. Make it the best thing you can do. Just stand and be bold and believe God's word. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're not a dumb kid. You're God's kid with power. You have what the word of God says you have, and you will be what the word of God says you will be. You can teach these other people how to get out of their confused state and that everything doesn't go. And it's not always right to accept everything. It's not always right to just feel good, and that doesn't give you an answer. That doesn't answer your prayer. That doesn't heal someone. The only thing that you can give someone is the word of God. Believe it because it's true, and hold it forth because people need it. Our lives make a difference. The word needs us. The world needs us. They need the word. They need prayer. They need peace. They need love. It's always the word, no matter what the situation is. And to close out, I want Jimmy to sing Word Over the World. And it's loud and it's on purpose because we need to shake up and wake up and eyes up because God wants us and has called us to be who we are. So remember, eyes up, and the time of harvest is now. So that's all I wanted to share.
Stop.
This is not professional. You know, I had the privilege.
Don't look at me.
Me and Christy, living with Lisi probably about 20 years ago, right? Wow. And that was just, I'm not going to talk. That's just wow. Anyway.
There's something happening in the world today. The body's growing, getting bigger every day. Yeah, getting bigger every day. More people learning that it's Christ in you, about that power and just what they can do. Yeah, just what they can do. If Christ is seated at the right hand of God and you're complete in Him, tell me, where does that put you? Yeah, tell me, where does that put you? With all this power, what are you gonna do? You're gonna sit around and sing the blues, yeah. Sit around and sing the blues. Well, you receive power from above. You can speak the word in love. Freely receive, freely give. Speaking the word so that others might live. They might live. And my lip word over the world. Shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, move this world over this land. Word over the world. Christ in you, Christ in me. How God set people free. There's people starving for the word today. They need what you got, and they need it right away. Yeah, they need it right away. Let no one talk you out of what you've received. You've got the word, you've got the power. Now it's time to believe, yeah. It's time to believe. Stand on your rooftops and shout it out loud. Let everyone know God's best are in town. Tell them what they need to hear. Tell them boldness without fear. Without fear. Without fear. With the word over the world. Shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, moving this word over this land. Word over the world. Christ in you, Christ in me. How God sent people free. Word over the world. God's word over the world.